going to a funeral. This is Dr. Herbert O'Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Going to a funeral. My sister gave me a call today. She's 84 years old, and she told me that her childhood friend, who she grew up with and knew all of their lives, their children, they raised them together and did all these things, passed on this past week. And that she and her daughter were going to fly to Milwaukee for the funeral. And then she says, but you know, Herb, I want to be with her and I want to share time with her and I want to tell her how much, she's dead, you know. But the husband and the family and so forth, whatever she's going to do. And she says, I want to be with the people. And she says, to go there for the funeral is nothing, you know. There's no benefit from doing that. I can't talk and be with people during a funeral as I can be when it's over. So we will go there after it's over. And we will go to the funeral after it's over to have a go to visit, to pay our respects. And now that's a long way from Wilmington, Delaware to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And that's maybe not really so terribly far. Maybe it's about 900 miles, something like that, maybe 1,000. But from here up to the tip of California is 1,000 miles just by itself. You know, driving around the United States, you put some pretty strong mileage on. But Marie is going to fly, of course, and visit. And Marie also is 84. And she is fit as a fiddle. She is driving her beautiful Buick station wagon around and carting everybody all over town and doing all the things and going to see all of her lady friends who are in their rest homes or wheelchairs or whatever. And here she is trucking around just like she's a young spring chicken, which she is. And, of course, she's my sister, so naturally she would be. But why do we go to funerals? Why do we attend somebody's funeral? A funeral is when someone has died and they have moved on. Now, do you go to their birth? Do you go to their birth whenever some dear friend has a child or gives birth to a child? Do you go and visit them at the hospital or at the home? Or do you take them presents and do you welcome the child into the world and say, wow, welcome, welcome? Do you go over there and have a birthanal, but you go to a funeral because you want to put them under the ground 6 feet or cremate them, but you don't go to a birthanal. Now, why don't you go to a birthanal? It's very strange. Because the birthanal means that they have a lifetime ahead of them. They have a lifetime of wonderful years ahead of them or whatever. Maybe only days. Maybe, hey, if someone dies early and you haven't gone to pay your respects before they go, you didn't pay your respects any time during their life. Mm-hmm. You know, you may have done it from a distance, but not in person. I think what we probably should do is to make a change. And when a person's done with the body, then it's just sort of put in the cremation and done. When a person is born, then the big party should be, the big celebration should be, the big hullabaloo of welcome, welcome, welcome. Like my little friend who, Doris, you know, Doris Steiger over in Switzerland. She greets all the newborn preemies and wishes them, well, you're coming into a wonderful world. This is a beautiful place to be. I'm so happy to see you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And do you think that the kid understands? You bet. You bet 100%. Does that kid say, wow, I was thinking of cutting out because it's kind of cold out here. You know, it's kind of warm inside there. And here I am now outside and I'm only about, 9 months? I'm 7 months old or 8 months old or 6 months old, you know, a little less than I should be. And it's cold out here. And when you're born at your 8 months, at your full term, you got enough blubber on you that you feel a lot more comfortable. It's still cold because you're all wet, but they dry you off soon. But the thing is, that's when we should have the parties. I think we should institute a whole new direction of things. And I think there should be no remembrances of the past. When people die, they're just cremated and they're gone. And when people are born, well, then when they should have that, not the casket, but they should have that basket, which is their lovely birth basket, which is made so beautifully and so wonderfully out of the finest fabric, the finest, strips of flax and other things that they make baskets out of. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that take a whole new turn in the world? And the hospital would become a joyous thing. And they should have a hospital just for babies. Not a hospital for everything. The hospital just for babies. But why? Because the attitude in the hospital just for babies is, I'm here! What's next? What's for supper? What's for dinner? What's for breakfast? I'm here, you know? And the other hospitals are people, oh, I'm sick, I'm hurting, I got this problem, I got that problem, I'm going to die. And who needs a baby to be around that? That's why they have the maternity ward, a separate ward from the rest of the hospital. But they should have a separate hospital for them. And really, they should be born at home. Just have a team of nurses and doctors that go from house to house and do their thing. And you know, they'd be a lot healthier for the babies. Yeah. The babies would not be in the environment of the hospital with all of its diseases and all of its other things that are there that are they could be susceptible to. Children that are, well, in Nigeria, how many kids are born in hospitals? If you have 100 kids, how many are born in a hospital? Two?
More than that.
Huh?
More.
More?
Yes.
How many?
If I have 10.
How many are born in hospitals and how many not? Half?
More than half.
More than half?
Yes.
Oh, in other words, they've already been talked into going to hospitals, huh?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's good. There are certain chemicals that they have to put in their eyes and certain things they have to do to them to prepare them for this world, but that's okay. That's okay. In the United States, I think in the last 10 years, they have made the decision that boys are not just preemptively circumcised, that the parents have to agree to it. And the parents say, well, why? You know, why? Why have them circumcised? They don't need to be circumcised. And we're not Jewish. That's not our faith, you know. And where did that come from in the first place? But see, that's just another little activity. And all these little activities, they create problems. Every time you invade the body, every time you do anything to the body, you are opening yourself to lots of possibilities. Now, I say that let's make birthdays more important and more impressive. And let's have every day be a birthday for somebody. And so every day we have a birthday party. Nice idea, huh? Every day.
Yeah.
And we just have one balloon as a birthday party. And what a great experience that would be. Wouldn't it be something?
And every time a pie or a cake.
Yeah. Every time something good. But can you see that if we begin respecting little children from the time that they're, even before they're born, while they're gestating, getting ready to be born, can you see, if we were to say to them, you're geniuses, you're wonderful, you're fantastic, you're glorious, you're the most outstanding beings on the face of the universe, you know, They would rise to it. They'd rise to it. When we call young people geniuses, they rise to it. When we call them intelligent, they rise. When we, you stupid jerk, don't you know any better than that? Well, they say, I'll show him I don't know any better than that. I'll do it even worse, you know. But this is what we do to our children, our world, and we don't realize that, well, we do realize it, but we still keep doing it. Now, I suggest that every day is a birthday for somebody. And every day should be honored and revered as a birthday. And so, last night we had a birthday, right? Or was it the night before last?
Saturday,
because Sunday was yesterday and I took her to the airport, yeah. And Saturday, you guys arrived.
Yes.
And we had the birthday Saturday?
Yeah.
No, just on your...
We arrived on Friday.
You arrived on Friday. You've been here a month already. My goodness, how wonderful. How wonderful. But now think about this with me. And let's see if you can each come up with some unique thought of why birthdays are so wonderful, the first birthday especially, and why we should all go wherever the child is and celebrate the birthday with him. Come up with some ideas, and let's see what you come up with, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Why should we go to where the child is and celebrate their birthday at the time of their birth whenever possible, or near to it as possible? Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, can anyone give me one reason why right now?
Because it's a Christ child born.
Forget the Christ child. That's a bunch of garbage. Now, what is it? Now, I'm not saying the Christ child is a bunch of garbage because the Christ child is a bunch. I'm saying your comment at this time is out of order. That child is unique and ideal and the number one perfect only expression of all good. Now, saying it's a Christ child right away puts it into a Christian framework, takes it out of the universal framework, right away takes it in, puts it into the framework of Jesus Christ, because people always think of Jesus and Christ together. And so you mess it all up. You mess it all up. I know you're sorry, but let's not do that. You understand
welcome,
me?
Welcome, welcome the baby.
Welcome the baby. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I said that now. Go ahead. That's a good start.
Yeah, I'm not happy about it.
That's a nice idea too. Why should I be happy about somebody else's having a baby?
We're happy for the baby.
Huh?
For the baby.
Oh, I'm happy for the baby. And what am I?
You,
the creator. I am the creator. Did I create that mother and that child? Did I create that baby? Is that an immaculate conception?
Why not?
With me as God?
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Interesting, huh? Think about those things. Very interesting. Yes. It's wonderful. Now, I think you all have a beautiful day, and you're going to have a wonderful thing to tell me tomorrow morning, and I'm going to sit there with pins and needles until I hear it, eagerly to know what it is you're going to write about. What are you going to write about? Seville, loud and clear.
About a newborn baby, the birth of a baby.
What?
We're going to write about the birth of a baby.
You're going to write about the birth of a newborn baby. What?
What it means.
What it means, the birth of a newborn baby. That's what you're going to write about. What does it mean for a newborn baby to be born? See, what sort of rip have you put in the fabric of the universe that let that little child come forth? What sort of aspect of the allness has been draped around that child, and that child is immersed in that aspect of allness, the isness? What is that going to be? I'm sorry, to give you a few little leads here.
We can use that.
Yeah. But think about it. Think about it. This can be the most memorable 2 weeks you've ever had, if you want to make it that way. And if you want to make it just two pleasant weeks, it'll be that too. But make it memorable. Memorable from the point of view that you are God and you know it, and you're creating all the world and all its experiences in the most beautiful, fabulous way.
Okay? It's a baby. Just born.
Ellen, that's one of the biggest lies and jokes that I've ever heard. Now, I told Ellen when she showed me her 9-year-old dog that it's a baby. Everybody knows that 9 times 7, 7 nines are what? 7 nines are what?
63.
It's 63 years old. And that's no baby in my book, you know?
No, but our time is now.
That's okay. Yeah. But that's still 63-year-old kid.
No.
Now, Ellen, how old are you? Are you 25 or 62?
I'm just newborn, too.
You're newborn, too. I see.
Oh,
my goodness sakes. I think Ellen needs to have a couple more babies, don't you? Maybe we should get her a job in the hospital with the preemies and have her invite each one into the world, like Doris does. Beautiful. Now, did you get a hold of Dorothea?
Yes, no, I didn't.
Well, okay. Thank you, Mrs. McGillicuddy. And we sign off for tonight by saying, good. I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you.